wants to turn over to 1 Timothy. Actually, let's do the 1 Peter 3:7 first. I don't think you have that, do you? You do. You printed it. Excellent. Here's one, a student right here, whoop, whoop, that actually, he saw the email, read it correctly, Nancy, and he printed off the documents accordingly. Amen, amen. He was homeschooled, and he can read and comprehend. Amen. That's good. That's good. There's hope. There's hope. That's what that means. Amen. Amen. The title is, don't get hung up on it, amen, The Weakness of Women. Now, it could be. Some women do have a weakness of men, and that's too bad for you. You know, all of us have weaknesses, right? And so it's good to be able to identify that. We're actually going to focus on a spiritual weakness of women that you just need to understand. You know, to understand your strength and your weaknesses is very important. And it's good for us as men to understand the strengths and weaknesses of women as well. Not to exploit the weakness, but to help shore up there as God gives opportunity. Who wants to read 1 Peter 3, 7? Nancy. I don't want a guy to read this. I want to hear it.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Yeah, this is a very interesting passage, and there's a lot there to really unpack. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time there, but this is definitely something that we as men need to keep in mind. And dwelling with them according to knowledge, that is an important key to that. As much as possible for men to understand their wife, women in general, we need to spend time in the book of knowledge, the Word of God, so that we can understand really each other in a right way. So dwell with them according to knowledge. We don't dwell with them according to some preconceived notion. We don't dwell with them according to, societal expectation or direction there. We dwell with them according to knowledge. And knowledge is a powerful thing, but if you believe the wrong thing, it's not good. So a lot of people, I think, sometimes convince themselves of something that's not right. But if you live according to what you've convinced yourself of and it's wrong, then that is a falsity that will adversely affect your life, not help you. Does that make sense? So the goal in life is not to come to a concrete conclusion that you can manage or agree with. The goal is to find out what God's word says about these things, because that's what's effectual. And it knowledge is power, it's been said. God's word states that. But true knowledge, correct knowledge is powerful, right? If you believe something that's wrong, it will adversely affect your life. It is incumbent upon you to know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. It's amazing the people I talk to that are dead set on what they believe, but they're flat wrong. According to the Word of God, not according to me, according to the Word of God, they are wrong. Well, that's going to adversely affect their life. And if you can handle it and inspect the fruit thereof, if you can look at it, you'll see it. Amen? And we need to be good about that in our own lives. What is this producing in my life? Me believing this, how's that working out for me? If you're mature enough to handle that question to your own self and look at it objectively, it's very powerful. But most people can't do that. We all see the world through our own biased glasses, right? And everybody wants to proclaim their own goodness, the Bible says, but a faithful man who can find. So look at it that way. So anyway, dwell with them according to knowledge, right? And then it went on from there and said, let's see, yep, dwelt them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So the wife is honorable. There are tremendous things about a woman that are honorable, and we need to understand that, look for those. And in other words, we're not looking to suppress, we're looking to honor. And then it says, as unto the weaker vessel. So we're going to talk about that. What does that mean? As Audrey, what does that mean? As unto the weaker vessel. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
We're a weaker vessel.
Yeah, you can't, like, you can't just repeat it and say that's your answer. Weaker how?
Oh, we're girls. We're emotional.
Okay, maybe in a sense. And by the way, what's weaker mean? Weaker in reference to weaker than what?
Weaker than someone who's stronger, but
well, what's the context? Who's God talking to here? Who's Peter talking to? How's the verse start out?
The
ye husbands. Okay. Ye husbands are to dwell with them according to knowledge, right? And then it goes on to say, dot, 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 as unto the... Okay, so weaker in reference to who?
The husband.
Be the man, be the husband. So there are some areas that a woman is weaker than a husband in.
No.
I'm sorry, it's just what the Bible says, amen?
No. Well, it's true.
It's true. Yeah, but not all areas.
Right.
Not all areas. Some areas. So we need to identify them, right? Because the husband needs to understand it. What if the husband treats the wife opposite of what the Bible says in reference to stronger and weaker? Is that going to help their marriage or hurt their marriage? It's going to hurt their marriage. So he needs to understand her weaknesses. He needs to understand his weakness. This passage is about her weaknesses. So in reference to weaker than the husband, and then in what areas? Now, Audrey said emotionally, right? Is a woman weaker emotionally? That's a hard way to put it, I think.
A woman is emotional, but the man can get emotional as well. One point I think is the man is usually stronger than the woman.
You're talking physically.
In strength, physically.
But that's another topic we'll talk about in a second. When could a woman's emotions be a weakness to the marriage, the couple? Yes. Right, dwell with them according to what?
Knowledge.
Okay. In factual, knowledge-based decisions, not all the time, in general, women are prone to be a little more emotional, which keep them from being able to make in the thick of the moment.
Yeah.
Wise decisions, thick of the moment. So sometimes you ladies will call us men insensitive. Amen. Uncaring, on and on and on. But that is something God has given us to be able to stay, keep our mind right to make decisions when the pressure's on. Right? And so that's a strength, but then in some regard can be a weakness. That's why that balancing out of a marriage is amazing. But you just need to know the different aspects of it. So then physically, is a man physically, typically... There are some women, no doubt, that throw the curve the other way, but is a man typically physically stronger than a woman?
Typically.
And in some things. There's not a man here that would say, I volunteer for childbirth. Right? No, thank you. Glad I'm a man when it comes to that. But in physical strength, muscular strength, skeletal makeup and all that, This whole transgenderism debacle has kind of brought that out. And you put a guy who says, I'm a female now. I can wear makeup. I can, you know, do all these things. I can look like a female. Yeah, I have male, you know, anatomy. But I identify now as a female. When allowed to run and track and are allowed to do all the sports to compete against women, who wins?
He does.
He does. He just does. And so there is a... And I'm not saying every time, but the majority. There was actually an article. It was a sister and brother, and the guy, the brother, he was a mediocre track runner and all that amongst other guys. But his sister was a star in reference to girls. But he claims to be transgender. He was able to get in the high school to run against his sister and the girls. He beat them all. Mediocre amongst the guys, excels amongst the girls. So physical strength, we're just framed different. There is a different structure to the skeletal aspect between a man and a woman, and a muscular aspect. It's just different. That's science. Let's not reject the science. Let's not reject it. It just is. So men and women are different, all right? And it's not just to do with the anatomy. There's all kinds of other structural things. So physically, yes, a man typically is stronger than a woman, physically stronger. Yes?
I mean, you have people like Serena Williams, a tennis player, probably the best tennis player of all time among women. She was challenged to a tennis match by like a guy that wasn't even in the top 100, and he like put her pants on.
Oh, she was wearing pants?
Short.
Probably short skirt there, yeah, probably, but yeah. So he did. I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, it's just because they just have stronger bones, denser muscles, and everything else. It's not a fair advantage when you put men against women.
It is not fair at all.
It's the whole transgender thing is destroyed women's sports.
What's funny is that the transgender thing, we've came all this way in getting women recognized, all these things, and this transgender thing's destroying it all. It's hilarious. I think it's really pretty comical to watch. It's sad. Yeah, and then also, we spent all this time trying to get, you know, the civil rights thing, all that, everybody equal, and now this critical racism theory's coming in, and we're back to all white here and all black. It's just absolutely amazing. Anyway, comical. Ryan, were you gonna say something?
I was just pointing out too, like in golf, best woman golfer, like for, you know, long driver and everything else, but they still hit off the women's tees because that's why they have different tee boxes, because the guys can hit so much further. It's not a good enough comparison.
Right. So, physically, emotionally, yes?
Well, I was just going to say, in terms of the emotional aspect, men being able to make, you know, wiser decisions in the heat of the moment, things like that. A lot of that depends on where your walk is.
There's definitely a spiritual component. And that's what we're heading to. Thank you for segueing us there.
I'm sorry.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
If I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I know my flesh, my anger, it affects my decision making.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a spiritual component. And that's what John just mentioned. And that's what this study is going to bring out. Right? Yes. You're right. And I've had this conversation with Dana and all that. But she's like, you know, she kind of gets upset because whenever you say something, the kids just listen. And I say something. And I'm like, I said, that's not a problem, is it? I mean, isn't that good that they listen to me? Sometimes, most of the time. If not, they suffer. Isn't that good? So don't be upset about that. Work, use that. But there is a spiritual aspect to the sternness spiritually compared between a man and a woman, even spiritually. It exists emotionally, it exists physically, but it also exists spiritually. Yes.
And just being kicked around, it was my observation. So I didn't really, you know, think about it until later on. But it's because usually when, usually I've only had one mom, but typically once my mom starts getting like stressful and everything, it's like, oh, here we go. And just like, you know, you kind of turn her off. But dad's usually, my dad had kind of anger issues growing up, but like usually
he demanded much, attention, did he?
Yeah, but the thing is, he's pretty much like grounded and level all the time, so that we weren't like, oh, you know, dad's frazzled, you know, whatever. He was usually grounded and level all the time, so it was easier for us to listen to him rather than just kind of turn him off because here he goes again, kind of frazzled. And, like, he went his, you know, emotions his best or whatever.
Yeah, so people, kids, pick up on, man, mom's just in her moment again, because she does get frazzled. She gets out in left field on hair on fire, right? Whereas a guy who, especially if he is spiritually where he needs to be, he's not frazzled by that. He's dealing with stuff far greater than that all the time And so these things are, yeah, I don't like what I'm dealing with right now, but we're just going to go ahead and take care of this issue right now, because we ain't going to let it fester, because I know what happens when we let it fester. And so we're going to keep a right arrangement here. I'm not going to let that little pipsqueak kid run this home. I'm not going to let them little pipsqueak kids affect our family in such a way that they become little monsters. I'm not going to do it. You ain't gonna work that way in my house. Amen. As for me and my house, we're just going to serve the Lord. And if you want to butt heads, I guarantee you my head's stronger. Anyway, yes.
Here's where it's like, but guys can't handle kids all day long like women can. So it's kind of like a catch 22. So that's where it's like, but then I think it's because they're, I don't know.
So two aspects there. Woman's the keeper of the home, right? She maintains that order, teaches, instructs, deals with every need in the home, is a giver, absolute giver. And then dad comes in, but dad deals with problems. That's the difference. Mom can come in and keep, and once that law is established, mom comes in, does a great job keeping that. When things start getting out of whack, dad's supposed to come in and put it back together again. So then mom can go on. But that's really good. Yes.
Are weaker in the emotional standpoint of it, though. In my opinion,
yes.
The women are stronger on the emotional side because we deal with that stuff all day long. We're dealing with the emotions, the ups and the downs, and the with the children and all that. So, but then the dad comes in and says, "I said," and then that's the last thing that's said, you know. And that's wonderful, but for that's to be the weaker on the emotional side of things.
Okay.
They just take so much strength to hold all that together.
It's not weaker in the sense that, I mean, you're more exercised in that area. But the strength and weak that we're talking about here is the ability not to let the emotions take control there. You know what I mean? I think that's what it's referring to. And that's where spiritually. So what he's going to show here in this is going on through. And we can turn over there real quick. Man, we're close on time. And I'll just mention it. 1 Timothy 2, it talks, basically it goes back to Eden. And here's the question. Who did the devil come to? Eve. By the way, the enemy will try to get into your home through first the kids. Because they're weaker than the woman, right? The devil always tries for the weakest first, right? And so there was no kids in the picture. Next, who's up? Eve was up. And so that's just the reality there in reference to that. And that's what this text points out here in 1 Timothy 2, verse number 9. Who wants to read that real quick? 1 Timothy 2, 9. Can I have that? You do? Okay.
Says, knowing this, that the law is not made.
That's not it. 1 Timothy 2, 9?
I'm sorry. It's over on this side. Like men also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shame, faceless, and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression.
That's good. We'll focus on that verse next week. There's a lot there, we're looking at it more from the idea of who is best suited to do what, and how should we carry ourselves based on our strengths and weaknesses. This passage has a whole lot more to deal with that. If we're there next week or not, who knows where John, maybe. But the point is that when we start talking about these things, instead of saying, well, I want to, or I should get to, or I'm comparing, we're just going to look at it from a strength-weakness perspective. Who's better suited to do what based on the strengths and weaknesses God has sown within them? That's the question. Amen? So we'll look at that. But it's very interesting thought. Who did the devil approach in the garden to bring in sin? And what's interesting about this passage was the woman was deceived. The man was not. He made a willful choice. He knew what he was doing. And it was, I believe, probably because his wife had already fallen, in a sense. And he wasn't going to abandon her. And by the way, that probably is a weakness for the man, amen. And so, again, we'll look at those next time we get to open this part up. But this is fascinating. And if you'll let yourself engage, it'll be really good for us, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, God, for how you work. Thank you for all that you've put into the Word of God so that we might know ourselves, know each other, know our strengths, know our weaknesses, and God, be able to navigate these tough days that we live in a right way so that, God, we can ultimately glorify you and to be productive, Lord, in our lives for your glory and for our good. Bless now the rest of the day. We love you. We thank you. Be with those again down in Louisiana with the storm coming. We pray in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.